dressed to the nines, and all I could think of is she thinks I bought it at the 99-cent store. That's not what she meant. As we announced even before the lesson this morning, as we even announced in the Bible class this morning, we're going to continue the line of thinking that we began last week when our lesson was entitled, Who Is or Who Was Jesus? Today, we're going to take that for another step, and tonight, we're even going to take that even another step, though this morning's lesson and tonight's lesson will stand alone. Hopefully, you'll be able to be here tonight for that lesson. But today, we're going to look at what was Jesus like? Last week, who was Jesus? This week, what was Jesus like? Brethren, the way Jesus is described in the New Testament is completely different than the concept that the world would have us believe. Jesus was not a wimp. He was not a sissy or anything like that. Jesus did love people. He loved little children. On one occasion, he said, suffer or allow the little children to come unto me. But this same Jesus made a whip of cords and ran the unethical money changers out of the temple. Yes, Jesus was compassionate and loving and kind, and he demonstrated that every day of his life, but he also did not mind standing up to the religious teachers of his day who had so obliterated the concept of God's love and God's understanding through the law of Moses. He didn't mind standing up to them at all. So yes, he was meek and gentle, but he was also emboldened. And brethren, we need to learn from both of those examples of him. We need to be meek and gentle, but we need to take a stand when a stand needs to be made. You remember Jesus said of the Pharisees, they were a generation of vipers. To their face, he called them whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. He spoke of the Jews of his day as an evil and adulterous generation. Again, he said, allow the little children to come unto me. And he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But Jesus knew when it was time to be bold. And brethren, so do we. Now, let me change gears just a little bit. I'm probably speaking for all of us today when I say, when I was younger, I really was curious about what Jesus looked like. Have you ever thought about that? What did Jesus look like? Well, since Jesus was a Jew, I suppose he looked like a stereotypical Jew. I don't mean anything politically incorrect by that. That's just the way it was. Since he lived in Galilee and Judea, he spoke Aramaic or Yiddish or Hebrew. He probably wore the garb of that particular day. I have no problem with any of those. He probably had dark hair and dark eyes. We've got a lot of probablys there, but we really don't know. But really, just for fun, I Googled, what did Jesus look like? Every web page that I took opportunity to look at pretty much said the same thing that I did today. Typical Jewish man, typical Jewish clothing. But one particular website really got carried away. And as you can tell, it's hard for me not even to smirk when I talk about it. Did you know from this particular website, Jesus was taller than the average Jew? Where they got that, I don't know, but he was. Did you know that Jesus was not only fluent in Aramaic, Hebrew, and Yiddish, but he was also fluent in Greek and Latin? I didn't know that either. Did you know that he wore an excessively long beard and very well groomed? Brethren, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know. And if the Bible doesn't say, brethren, then it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what Jesus looked like. What matters is, what was Jesus like? And that's the emphasis of our lesson today. What was Jesus like? First of all, Jesus was the embodiment of love personified. Jesus had an ability to love actually far and above probably any of us do. He was able to love even his closest friends, his disciples, when they disappointed him greatly. You remember the time he was about to be crucified and he selected Peter, James, and John to go with him to the Mount of Gethsemane. And he said something like this, stay awake, watch with me. And when he came back, they were sound asleep. He loved them anyway. He loved Peter, though three times on the night of his betrayal, Peter denied even knowing our Lord. He loved him anyway. He loved all the disciples when on the night of his arrest, they all ran away. They were all afraid. He loved them anyway. Even their lack of perfection, even their lack of devotion, Jesus loved them anyway. And I found this verse, John 13, verse 1. He loved them to the end. And brethren, he'll love us to the end. In spite of our imperfections, in spite of our lack of devotion from time to time, he loves us. He died for us. And his love is never ending. I always mention these two verses together. God said, according to the book of Hebrews, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And Jesus said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. John 14. Jesus loved them to the end. A story I mentioned last week, I really feel compelled to mention it again. In Matthew chapter 8, a leper came to him. That's a man with leprosy, not a leopard. A leper came to him. Now, leprosy was incurable. They had to cry out, unclean, unclean, so the people would be able to stay away from them. They had to isolate themselves. A leper came to Jesus saying, Jesus, if you want to, you can make me whole. And Jesus wanted to. And here's the point I mentioned last week, the point I mentioned today. Jesus reached out his hand and touched him and said, be thou healed. Brethren, if a leper came in today, I don't know if I would do that. But Jesus loves me anyway, in spite of my imperfections, in spite of my lacking of devotion from time to time. Jesus loves the unlovable. But Jesus also said concerning that, you have heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And that's what the Jews believed. They hated the Romans. They hated the publicans. They hated everyone that was not a Jew. Jesus said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Pray for them. Do good to them. And so you'll be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's from the Sermon on the Mount. But then Jesus said something that no one likes to hear. Brethren, if you and I, just like the disciples, if we only love the lovable, if we don't love the ones who persecute us and say evil against us, if we don't love everyone, then we're just like everyone else who also doesn't love everyone. And a phrase I used last week, I use it quickly. Jesus did talk the talk, but Jesus also walk the walk. He taught his disciples and he taught us to love. He left us that example. In fact, he said, a new commandment I give to you. Brethren, love was not new. We can trace love all the way back through the Old Testament. Love was not new. It was the degree of love that Jesus is talking about. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, to the degree that I love you. by this kind of love, not just casual love, not infatuation, but the degree of love that Jesus showed to us, it is that kind of love that will separate us and cause us to be recognized by the world today. Now, let me say one other thing, and I think I'm speaking for you as well. I don't have trouble loving you when you're lovable. And you probably don't have a problem loving me when I'm lovable. My problem is I don't love you when you're not lovable. Well, at least some of you I don't. But Jesus loved us all the time. Even from the cross, he said, Father, I love those people that are crucifying me. Therefore, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's what Jesus was like. And let me just interject, since I'm going to have tonight to talk about this subject also, let me just interject something else. When we talk about Jesus' love and the example of love that he left us, we also need to talk about obedience. Jesus didn't have a problem with love and obedience. In fact, he stressed love and obedience. Now, today, and I'm not saying this negatively at all, Americans, human beings, stress independence. We need to be independent. I feel that way too. I think Jesus was very independent. But we stress independent thinking, independent action, independent personal independence. Jesus, I also believe, was independent. But Jesus did not have a problem relating his independence with his obedience to God, nor should we. I found a verse that I think sums it up the very best. We're still in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 29. Here Jesus is talking about God and he says, I always do what pleases him. I always do what pleases God. Always what pleases God. And my question that I've asked myself, and I encourage you to ask yourself, do I always do what's pleasing God? Or do I sometimes put God aside and do something that's just for pleasing me? And when I think about Jesus and what he did and what he is like, I realize that though I have a comfortable life, Jesus left the comforts of heaven and came to, as we preachers say, this low land of sin and sorrow. Not because he wanted to, but because his Father wanted him to do. He was always about pleasing the Father. That's the example he lived. Here is the Lord of all lords and King of all kings and the Savior of the world who humbled himself to be obedient to the Father. That's what Jesus was like. He came to this land as a servant when he had every right to come as a sovereign. And every day he lived and every word he spoke and every miracle he did was to obey the will of his Father. Even at the very end when he prayed, Father, if there is another way than the cross, let's choose that other way. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, Jesus said, but thy will be done. That should be uttered and realized in every prayer that we pray. God's will be done. Jesus submitted to the Father. He gave the very best he could to his Father. Let's remember that. That's who Jesus was. That's what Jesus was like. He gave the very best he had to the Father. What was Jesus like? When I think of Jesus, I think of a man who deserved much better than he received. He was treated like a criminal, though he was not. He was treated as evil, though he was not. He was treated unjustly and for no justified reason. Why do you think he did that? To give us an example of how we should live. You remember the Hebrew penman said concerning Jesus, he was tempted or tested in all points, just like we are. Now, I'll paraphrase. Jesus was able to live above sin where we cannot do that. But he was tempted and tested every way that we are to leave us an example that we need to give God the very best that we have as well. I alluded to this in Bible class. Jesus would walk a little faster if that's what he needed to do. He would try a little harder if that's what he needed to do. He would bear a heavier burden if that's what he needed to do. That's what Jesus was like, and that's what Jesus wants us to be like as well. When I think of Jesus, I think of a man who did not, he deserved every break in the world, and he got very few, if any. And I think of my life, and I think I speak for you, I've gotten the good breaks in life, and I really don't deserve any of those, except for the fact that Jesus secured my salvation. And even if I am persecuted, which I've never been, even if I am evilly spoken of, regardless, it's worth it because I'm emulating Jesus. That's the example he left for me. He gave the very best that he could. That's all that God has ever asked us to do. You know, if God asked me to swim across Lavaca Bay from Port Lavaca to Point Comfort, I couldn't do that. But he didn't ask me to do the impossible. If he asked me to climb Mount Everest, I can't do that. But he didn't ask me to do the impossible. He said, just learn my word and apply it to your life. And I can do that. And even when I stumble and fail, the Bible says God is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. That's the best that I have. That's what I offer. Now maybe you realize that you've not given the best that you have. You've done a good job in hiding it because none of us know that. But maybe there is an area that you need to improve. If you would like us to pray for you and with you, we will do that. If you've sinned and brought shame on the church, we can pray with you for that as well. If someone is here today and desires to be baptized for the remission of their sins, we would love to see that happen as well. In fact, regardless of your need, Jesus can meet that need. That's what Jesus is like. The song number is number 867. Just stay with me. I'm not sure if we'll sing every verse. But if you need to come to Jesus, then won't you come as we stand and sing?